they said, are you awed and do you think that this is extraordinary when it is the command of Allah? Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. The mercy of Allah and His blessings are upon you, O Ahlul Bayt, O family of Nabi Ibrahim. Innahu Hamidun Majid. Allah is all praiseworthy and He is magnificent. Now, until now, there are some lessons that we can take from this story. One of them is, how is it that we are supposed to treat guests? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was somebody who was famous for being hospitable. According to tradition, he is the father of guests, meaning that he was the one who was known in history as loving guests and having many guests. When Nabi Ibrahim would serve his meals, he wouldn't feel comfortable eating alone. If he didn't have any guests, he would go out searching for guests twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Sometimes, according to hadith, he would walk up to 2 miles looking for somebody that he can invite and say, come home. When this particular incident takes place, according to historical reports, he hadn't received guests in a long time, and he was anxious for the opportunity to be able to serve guests. And so when they came, he was very happy. And you can see how he treats them. According to traditions, we're told that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam once was searching for guests, and after looking and looking, he couldn't find anybody. When he got home, lo and behold, to his surprise, he saw that there was a guest waiting for him. So he says, how did you get in here? How did you come? He says, I came with the permission of my Lord. Nabi Ibrahim understands that this was not just an ordinary guest, this was a guest sent by Allah, and he figured that this was an angel. So he begins to discuss with him, ask him, why is it that you came here of all places? He says that I was talking to Allah, my Lord, and my Lord told me that today I want you to go visit one who is my Khalil, one who is my special friend. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him, he says that who is this Khalil? I want to go meet him myself. Because somebody who is a special friend of Allah is somebody who is very special. Right? Let me go meet him. And the angel tells him that it's you, you are the Khalil of Allah. Nabi Ibrahim is surprised. He says, how is it that I became the Khalil? And the angel responds, he says that you were chosen as Allah's Khalil, as Allah's special friend, because whenever anybody would ask you anything, you would never refuse them. And you would always attend to their needs. See, this is the characteristic that Nabi Ibrahim had. And that shows up his being hospitable, his searching for guests, is just one of those things. In general, he was somebody who would always be looking to serve the needs of others. And this is a characteristic that we can, inshallah, learn from and try to apply in our lives. One of the famous ulama, Allama Tabatabai rahmatullahi alayh, one of my teachers was telling us a story. He said that there was a time when he was approached by somebody and that person gave him a Qur'an. He was an elderly man. Now, Allama Tabatabai is a very busy person. Right? He was alone writing this monumental work of tafsir that had never been written before in history. Until today, it's still a wonder in the Hawza that one man alone can write such a thing. Today in the Hawza, we have amazing efforts taking place, but usually they're team efforts. You know, you have a teacher with some of his students, for example, they're working together, or you have multiple scholars, and they have an organization, they have an office. But here is one individual who alone is putting together this monumental work known as Al-Mizan. Anyhow, one time when he's busy doing this, this man comes to him and he gives him a Qur'an. He says, look it, I use this Qur'an to do istikhara. But sometimes when I open up the page and look at the verse, I don't know whether it's good or it's bad. So can you do me a favor and can you mark the verses for me and tell me whether they're good or bad? Now today, you get Qur'ans that are printed that already have that indicated. It's like the istikhara Qur'an. But at that time, they didn't have them. So Allama Tabatabai accepted, and his son found him one day going through the pages and marking, you know, one after the other. It's a painstaking chore right here. And he asked, why is it that you're doing this? He said, well, I made a promise to that man, and that's why I'm doing it. Imagine such a busy person, but because that man had a sincere need of him, he didn't find anybody else to go to. He said, okay, I'll take care of it for you as well. Right? This is a characteristic that we can try to, inshallah, learn from, apply in our lives as well too. That of, if there is a need, stepping up and doing it, of course, in a balance. Not that we neglect responsibilities which are more important. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Before we get back to the ayahs, because we're telling some stories, another story about Nabi Ibrahim's hospitality. One time Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is looking for a guest, like he used to do. And he finds somebody who is not a Muslim, it's a kafir. So he says that, okay, I want you to be my guest, right? He's hungry, you can come be my guest. However, there's a condition. My condition is that you have to accept Allah and Islam of that time. You have to become a Muslim. And the kafir doesn't accept. So he goes off hungry, Nabi Ibrahim goes back looking for somebody else. At that point, Allah reveals to him and talks to him and says that, oh, Ibrahim, why did you reject that individual? He says that because he doesn't believe in you, O Allah. This is according to tradition. Allah responds to him. He says that, Nabi Ibrahim, for 70 years, I have been providing for this individual on this earth. I've been giving him his rizq. And for one meal, you can't do the same? Ibrahim alayhi salam says that, okay, I made a mistake. I didn't do the right thing at that point. He goes and chases after that kafir, that individual, that non-Muslim, and he says that, look, I changed my mind. Come, please come, please, let me be my guest. And he brings him home, he treats him to the best of hospitality, he gives him a meal. After the meal, the non-Muslim starts to talk to Nabi Ibrahim. He says that, just tell me one thing, why is it that you first rejected me, and now you are... Peace be upon Muhammad. Why is it that you first accepted me, now you're rejecting me? He says that, well, he tells him the story. Basically, this is what happened. You know, I did that and then I got this revelation from Allah. I'm a prophet of Allah. He told me that I should have done something otherwise. The non-Muslim at that point says that if that's the case, that your Lord is so merciful, then I too accept your Lord and I become a Muslim as well too. This is another story that we have. This is the type of individual and personality that we are talking about here. Now, at this point in this set of verses, Nabi Ibrahim has been given very important news. It's the news of a child being born. Imagine a man who has reached to that age. For all that time he was praying, he never had a child, and now he's been given a child. It would be something which would be unbelievable. And for most people, they would be so happy that happiness would intoxicate them. They would just be focused on that. But what is it that Nabi Ibrahim is worried about at this point? فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ When that feeling of fear and that feeling of kind of being surprised by these guests had left him, وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى Okay, and the good news had been given to him. The next thing that Nabi Ibrahim does, يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتٍ He starts to argue with us about Lut. Nabi Ibrahim, with the people of Lut. Because the angels had told him that we have come to destroy the people of Lut. Immediately though, Nabi Ibrahim wants to do shafa. He wants to intercede. He wants to ask Allah that, oh Allah, can you prolong this punishment even a little bit? Let's see, maybe they'll come around. Now this is quite amazing that somebody who has been given such good tidings, they have been given such a big blessing, that they're still worried about other people. And what kind of people are these? These are people who have turned away from the guidance of Allah. They've been rejecting the guidance of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. They're doing the worst of sins. They're pursuing their own shahwa in ways that Allah has said is wrong. But yet, Nabi Ibrahim doesn't give up on them. It's really truly something which is amazing. Most individuals, when they're being given blessings, they become rich, right? They forget about other people. If you look at statistics, you'll see that the people who donate most to organizations like the Red Cross are the people who are in the lowest income bracket, proportionately. Those people who don't have, they feel the pain of others, and so they give what they can. But when people get comfortable, right, they start holding on to their cash. They don't care about, they don't have that pain anymore for other people. because they've been given those blessings. Not only that, they find every way whatsoever to like go through loopholes to hide what they have, so they don't have to even give it to the government as well too. Right? They just keep it, they sit on it. They're sitting on a mountain of wealth. Most people, not everyone. But you see here, this is an example for us, that somebody who's been given the best news of his life, it doesn't intoxicate him. And this is the message of the Quran as well too. Allah tells us, لِكَيْ لَا تَأَسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُ بِمَا آتَكُمْ. There's two characteristics that he's looking for from us. Number one is that if we're given something, it shouldn't make us forget about Allah and forget about others and our responsibility towards them. And if something, we're to give up something, we lose out on something, and it happens, right? We're tested and we're tried, things are blessings that were given to us previously, they're taken away from us. It's not something that we get overly upset about. Because after all, this is in the hands of Allah. We're not alone in this universe here. Allah's promised to take care of us. And if He's taking away something from us, it's done with the best of wisdom and the best of intention. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. At this point, even Allah comments about the behavior of Nabi Ibrahim. The fact that he's so worried about the people of Lut, these people who have been destined to be destroyed by Allah. Allah has determined that it's come their time. What does he say? إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ. Indeed, Ibrahim was somebody who was Halim. We've talked about Hilm in the last couple of nights. Somebody who isn't hasty in taking judgment, in getting angry. Nabi Ibrahim wanted to wait even longer. Wait, delay, delay, delay. Maybe they'll come around. Awahun, he was Awah. Somebody who's Awah is somebody who often says Ah. Awah comes from this word Ah. In Arabic, you say Ah when you're feeling pain. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that Nabi Ibrahim was somebody who was always complaining, right? He was feeling pain, so he always complained. No. Nabi Ibrahim would be pained by the situation of others around him, and he would be moved by the condition and the plight of others. And so he would say Ah to the point that he was known as Awah. Allah is calling him Awah. Munib. He was somebody who would turn to Allah. Anaba. He would be turning to Him as well too. This is something which, again, there's a lesson in it for us. The type of charitable, compassionate individual that Allah is looking for isn't somebody who just cares for others. It's somebody who cares for others, but at the same time is connecting that to Allah. He's munib. Because we have humanitarians who don't know God. But this is the type of humanitarian that Allah is looking for. Somebody who is halim, somebody who is awah, somebody who is munib. They take that compassion and that passion and they turn to Allah, they present that to Him. They pray for others as well. They say that, oh Allah, I've seen these individuals and they're in these situations, oh Allah, please help them. Even if they're sinners, as we see in the case of Nabi Ibrahim praying for the people of Lut who are going to be destroyed by Allah. Allah tells him in the next verse, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Oh Ibrahim, turn away from this. It's a matter which is decreed. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكُ وَإِنَّهُ إِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٍ. The punishment is due to them. Whatever could be done in terms of guiding them has been done. Now it's time has come for their punishment. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad in Surah Zariyat, Surah 51, verse number 24, the same story is told, but from a different perspective. We learn more about the etiquette and the kindness of Nabi Ibrahim. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Has the news come to you, and the story come to you, of the guests of Ibrahim that were honored? One of the things we learn from this is that our guests should feel that they are honored in our homes. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا السَّلَامَ قَالَ السَّلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. When they came to him, they said salam. They said a greeting of salam, and he responded with even a better greeting. We should greet our guests in a very, with a very good greeting when they come to us. قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ said, your people that I don't know. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعَجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. He went to his family, and he came with a calf which was Samin. Faragha, the word in Arabic, means to go in a way that you go unnoticed. Right? He doesn't want to make a big scene about bringing food for the guests, because maybe if you do that, a guest will tell you, no, don't take the trouble. Right? In a very surreptitious, clandestine way, he goes and gets some food for them. But what kind of food? It's a calf, which is something which is, you know, good food. But not just any calf, ijdin samin, which is a fat calf, good food, the best food that he could offer. What about being simple? What about being simplistic? Yeah, we have to be simplistic as well too. But when it comes to serving guests, we're told that we should give a good person good things. Not to be extravagant on the other hand, but not to be cheap either. Give them good things. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ He takes the food and he brings it near them. Ulama, based on this verse, they tell us that the tradition that we have of having buffet style, let's get up and go to the food, that's something which is not a desirable tradition. When possible, we should try to take the food and bring it to our guests, bring it near to them, just as we see in the case of Nabi Ibrahim. Not just bring it to them, bring it near to them. Not that they have to stretch all over, you know, and over other people to get to the food. They feel uncomfortable in doing so. It should be something which is accessible to them, so they can eat at in ease. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ He says, that, why aren't you eating? And then the story continues like we had seen in the other surah as well too. So what we're learning from these verses is some of the etiquette of keeping guests and being kind to them, and what we can do for that, practical lessons that we're taking from the Qur'an in that respect. Unfortunately, in today's world, we see that these customs of being generous and inviting people home, slowly we see them evaporating and just, you know, disappearing from the culture that we're living in. People are busy in their own lives. You're lucky to see them at the center, even if that, right? People are just, you know, off in their own worlds, busy. You ask them where you're, I'm busy. I'm commuting, I'm doing this thing, I'm doing that thing. Of course, alhamdulillah, we have to be pursuing our risk, we have to be busy. But we shouldn't forget about these type of things as well. These are not just matters that help us in the dunya by creating strong ties and creating strong friendships. These help us in the hereafter. A guest that comes home, according to traditions, brings their own rizq with them. Whatever we give for them is going to be returned to us. Not only that, when they leave with istighfar and maghfirah for the people who have hosted them. So we're given spiritual gifts by hosting other people. Sometimes people say that, okay, well, it's so hard, right? It's so much effort that we have to take to host people. Why not just, you know, meet at a restaurant? Or just, you know, not do it all together. We'll meet at the center. No, this is important as well too. And maybe we need to relook at some of our cultural practices. In tradition, we're told that when you invite people over, when you prepare food for two people, it will be as if it's food for four people. Meaning that Allah will multiply that you do, those small efforts that you put in, Allah will multiply them and make it easier for you to host others. And we need to make it easy as well too, by getting rid of those aspects of our culture that prevent us from acting upon the command of Allah. This characteristic of being miserly, of not wanting to give to others, is something which is very, very dangerous. In the Qur'an, we have different terminology used for this. One of them is bukhl, of being miserly. Another one is called shuh. Shuh is when somebody has that characteristic of shuh, not only are they miserly, but they don't want other people to have good things either. And unfortunately, in the individualistic society that we're living in, we see that people are becoming like that, and we can become like that as well too. One time, one of the companions sees Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He sees him doing tawaf. What kind of tawaf was this? It was a tawaf that lasted from the evening until the morning. Now this is something which is quite amazing. Those of you who have done tawaf, you know that it's not, you get tired after all. Right? But Imam was doing it from the evening to the morning time. And the whole time, he was saying the same dua again and again and again. So in the morning when he meets him, he says, "Oh my Imam, I saw that you were doing tawaf from evening to morning, and I saw you sing the same dua again and again. I heard you repeating this line, Allahumma waqini min shuhi nafsi. O Allah, protect me from the miserliness of my own self. In other words, let me be a generous person. Let me be a caring person. Let me not be a selfish person, an individualistic person. Imam Ali says that yes, indeed, this is what I was saying. He says that why were you saying this particular dua? He says, haven't you read the Quran? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever is protected from the miserliness of his own soul, that person is successful. So what thing is there which is more severe than becoming a miserly person? This is what I was asking Allah for. InshaAllah, we pray to Allah to help us to become generous people who care about others, who don't fall into the trap of worrying only about our dunya and not forgetting about our hereafter and forgetting about the welfare of other individuals. May He help us to read the Quran, to learn from it, to apply these teachings to our life, and to teach it to other people as well too. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for the marhumin of the families who are arranging for the iftar tonight. And these are the names: Raza Haider Rizvi, Sayyid Raza Rizvi, Hassan Zamin Rizvi, Zia Haider Rizvi, Ali Raza Rizvi, Manzoor Hussain Rizvi, Sipte Bakar Jafri, Dayam Hussain Jafri,